other yak babies. Sex, presidents, and sometimes books.
Oh, welcome to Yak Babies, the only podcast no longer sponsored by Books and Internet. A real shame that we lost that sponsorship, but we're working on getting a comic sponsorship. So if we can get sponsored by comic books, that's pretty good. It's pretty close.
So we're the only podcast on the internet not sponsored by books?
Oh, yeah, that's true, actually. They sponsored every other podcast but ours.
They dumped us and took on everyone else.
It was a real deliberate, like, fuck you move. Yeah. And it hurt, honestly.
This is the first time learning of it.
Yeah, well, yeah, I was in a lot of negotiations, and I did a terrible job.
Really fucked us.
Yeah, I really did. I apologize to everyone. But here we are, and we're going to talk about comics, try and get the comic book sponsorship. And today, our topic is the comic Die by Kieran Gillen and Stephanie Hans and Clayton Cowles. We did this in a Story Club episode a couple months ago, I think. Can't remember exactly when that episode came out. We were at issues 1 and 2 and discussed them. What's up?
I got you.
Oh, yeah, sorry, Comics Club. You know, our intent here is to chart our sort of consumption or reading of a comic in real time almost, to kind of read it gradually as it comes out and see where it's going, what our thoughts are in the series as it progresses, if we want to keep reading it, and so forth. And that might be a cliffhanger for today's episode. If I recall, for 1 and 2, we all seem to like it for the most part, right? Or at least we're intrigued by it. Dave, I think you were the most skeptical of Die in the past.
Yeah, issue 1 was interesting because it set up the friendships and relationships, and they, if memory serves, they all came back together after as adults to play the game they played as a kid or whatever.
They were lost in that realm for like several years as children, right, and then became adults and then were sort of tricked to going back into the realm.
Right, into the realm, which is where they lost me.
Right.
In issue 2, when they actually went into the fantasy realm.
Right. And that's because it's just not your
It's just vibe. Not my thing, yeah. Yeah. And we'll talk about that more today with issues 3 and 4.
Right. And Brick, you were pretty on board, right?
Yeah. There were parts that were a little confusing to me. Mm. I had a hard time keeping the characters apart. Mm. And I wasn't, and I'm still not completely sold in the art. But the premise and the characters were all interesting to me.
Yeah.
And still are. Actually, maybe we can get this after, but I'm a little less interested at the end of 4 than I was at 2. But
Tell us why. What's going on with that?
Well, actually, I'm a little surprised because you told me 3 was awesome and that 4 was kind of hee-her.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of felt the other way around. Oh, interesting. 4 was a little more interesting to me because it spent more time with the characters. I think that the twist in 3 was neat, but I spent most of that issue wondering what the hell is going on.
What's the twist?
The Lord of the Rings, like, it wasn't really a twist, but the...
Like the high concept, maybe.
Yeah. So the third one, a dragon attacks, and then they're all in the trenches, but it's like a World War One thing going on, but then there's elves.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I couldn't figure out what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then and then they start talking about the Lord of the Rings, and then it's kind of set up at the end, like they're the hobbits with the Lord of the Rings.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the characters in the trench are the four hobbits from the Fellowship of the Rings with the party. And then they're talking about sort of being sent on this to the front lines of this war by like the great powerful forces, i.e. Gandalf. Mm. And it's...
And even ends straight with the line, like, you can simply walk there, which is
right.
A twist on the famous line from the...
Yeah,
from
yeah.
From the Hobbit says you can't. Or, I mean, the Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings, yeah. And it seems to be the writer Kieran Gillen, if... Maybe critiquing or sort of commenting, I guess, on the Lord of the Rings as a metaphor for war, right? Or as a big, like, symbol for European warfare. And seeing the hobbits as these poor characters who are sent to do the business of more powerful figures who don't want to get their hands dirty with it.
Which is cool, and I'm there for that.
Mm.
But in the third issue, where you're still establishing things, that it threw me.
Too sudden?
Yeah, it was for up until the last 3 pages when I put it together, I was like, what the hell's happening?
Mm.
Why are we in World War One? Is this part of this world? Is this a character having a dream? I don't know. I just couldn't find my bearings in that.
Right. So issue 4 was more compelling for what reason?
Issue 4 was the characters are in a city.
Mm.
And it's sort of downtime.
Yeah.
But there's still... I think what I like about this is this, like, this is sad.
Yes.
Sad book. And sort of all the characters' powers, each one has their own class or whatever. And their powers basically require them to experience pain in order to access them in some degree. And the pain varies, and for some it's physical, but mostly it's mental and anguish and sadness. And in all these, and I think issue 4 explored that, and that's, I think, much like we were talking on the first two issues, I think the strength of this seems to be the characters and their relationship to one another. And there was a real sense in 4 that none of them want, obviously none of them want to do this, but there's almost this, especially with the girl that's basically the main girl, whatever her name is, the white-haired one.
Yeah. Is that Ash?
Yeah. There's a real resignation here where, like, you know, the first time they went to this place was obviously the most traumatic thing that ever happened to them in their entire lives, and it really upended their life, and they went back to the world, but they could never get past the trauma of the thing.
Right.
And in this one, in issue 4, it was, I got the sense that they were kind of resigning themselves to the fact that, like, fuck, I got to do it again. And the only way out of this is to relive the worst moment or moments of my life over and over again.
Yeah.
And there's, I thought that had a real punch to it that I liked. And then there was the banter between them and a little more exploration of who they are and what their relationships to one another are. There's a hint of, like, some feelings between two of the women.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a part where the thief addict class, whatever she is.
Yeah.
If she doesn't pay off her thing, she's got to watch her dog die again. Like,
yeah,
it's brutal, man.
Yeah.
So like those things are very interesting, and it's a very clever twist on these tropes. And I think I'm more familiar with these tropes than Dave is, which is why maybe it catches me a little more.
Mm-hmm. But you also said you're still not on board for 4 or for 5 necessarily.
I would still read 5, but I'm in it for the character and the adventure.
Yeah.
The Lord of the Rings thing, I don't think it earned that. So
right.
That, like, I still don't understand what the point of that issue was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can get the commentary point, but what did that have to do with, like, why were they in trenches? And why was, what was happening?
I'm not sure.
The dragon attacked, and then suddenly she's in there with these dying elves, but was that real? Was it? And then she hands the sword to the guy who, like, has to feel pain to kill the thing, and then he kills the dragon. Was that an illusion? Was that, were the actual hobbits laying in the, like, I couldn't figure it out.
It seems that way, yeah. I think it was real. I don't think it was a dream or an illusion.
So this is something that, you know, I can kind of see the angle where, like, this world and this game that they're forced to play and live out as a reality was written by a teenager.
Right.
So there's this, like, kind of hacky fan fictionness about it, but then made real and made horrible because people are dying.
Yeah, like cobbled together references the way you might if you were, like, yeah, a teenage boy making a fantasy world and maybe not doing it super subtly.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess I get it, but I just, that's not a third issue.
Interesting.
You know?
One thing that you mentioned that I wanted to touch on, especially that we don't think we covered in the issues 1 and 2 in that episode, is how heavy this book is. It's really sad.
Yeah, it's rough.
And how it deals with trauma and the idea of going back to your past and having to, I don't know, reconcile the things you've done that you're not proud of.
They're not even reconciling it. They're just reliving it.
Right, or just having to revisit, I guess, yeah. Right? And be confronted with it. You think you have grown up and moved on. You know, part of the promise of getting older is that you can leave the past behind you and be a different person. But in this case, you can't, because it comes back to literally envelop your life and force you into this place you never wanted to be. And it seems, I'm not sure, Kieran Gillen's pretty forthcoming in the back matter. Those essays reveal a lot. I can't remember if you mentioned this before or what's going on, but there's something, obviously working through something, right? There's something, at least for the writer,
involved. It feels very personal.
Yeah, about past trauma and the effect it has on you as a modern adult. I kind of had the opposite reaction where I like, the characters are good and I'm interested in their story. I'm going to keep reading it, obviously. But I am looking forward to more of the fantasy realm or fantasy literature tropes and criticisms that come along with that.
See,
it's a cool idea.
I think it's a cool idea too, and I liked how it was worked in. On the previous issues, it was kind of worked in, but in the third issue, it was the thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost like the main story and the main cast were worked into a side, and it might not be as jarring when it happens again. Now that I know that this is part of how it works,
right?
So I don't know.
Yeah, Dave, you mentioned, I guess, not to spoiler alert for Dave's commentary, that this was your last issue of Die. So tell us why.
Yeah, maybe I'm not. Maybe not. And also, to be fair to these creators, the way that I am reading this book isn't the ideal. Right. I mean, I read issues 1 and 2 quickly before we recorded them, and then I did that the same here many months later, quickly read through issues 3 and 4 in order to talk about them now. So given more time to spend with them, I think, I don't know, maybe I would have a different... If I really want to give this a fair shake, I should reread 1 and 4, I mean 1 through 4, and like with some patience and some open-mindedness, I guess, rather than hurriedly and many months apart.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So maybe I'll do that. I don't know. There are some things about this that intrigue me for sure. And even if fantasy type work is not in my wheelhouse, that doesn't mean I shouldn't give it a chance.
And those things that intrigue you are mostly what?
The relationships, you know, sort of the communal, like the shared purpose that these longtime friends slash maybe some of them frenemies have. You know, they have to work together to get out of this world and to work through their own. You know, we talked in the what are we looking for in comics. I mentioned how I liked characters who are like inward looking and struggling. And clearly all of these characters are going through something like that. So,
yeah, I mean, major ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. The story from 4 for the grief night about his daughter, like being worried about his daughter possibly dying, whatever, that was like impossibly heavy. Yeah. Surprised by it. Even though I knew this book was sad already, I was like, God, man, that is a lot. Art continues to be excellent in this book. I think that's from before. I really like the colors, the palette. This book is really specific, and I think
it's not as orange this time, which is nice.
Yeah.
That was something that got me before.
Yeah.
I'm coming around on the art. I still don't like the faces very much. They feel off to me.
Mm-hmm.
But all this stuff, like just as before, the big shots and the action things, especially like the wide open.
Yeah, the big panoramas are really great.
They look really great, and the things in silhouette and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You can tell this was... It doesn't try to hide that it was drawn on a computer.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like marker and paper. It looks like... You can see the, which is a thing I talked about before, is how I like seeing the fingerprints. You can see the digital fingerprints.
Yeah.
On here, you can see the strokes, and they don't, but they look artificial, but not in a bad way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's painterly, but it's not paint.
Yeah.
Sort of, it's almost like aping or simulating a painted text, but it
looks almost like spray paint
or airbrush. Yeah.
Or airbrush. Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, but digital, and it does, when it looks cool, it looks real cool. It's got this kind of neon-y contrast to it that is neat.
Yeah. The light in this book is really interesting. And that's a lot of the coloring. I noticed coloring. I think these two reads, issues 3 and 4, I noticed color even more than issues 1 and 2.
Because there's more of it.
More of it maybe. And just like pops in different ways. Like the white of Ash's hair. Like it's a very stark contrast to her like gown, and I don't know, the color is really cool in this book. And then Stephanie Hans is doing all herself. Okay, so unfortunately I think issue 5 is the end of this first arc, and I was hoping it would be published by the time we got together for a recording session, so we could do it all in one fell swoop and see from a natural concluding point where we feel. So maybe we'll bring in issue 5 next time and see what our thoughts are, if we want to continue.
Yeah, I mean, talking about this. Now that I know that there's an arc ending at 5, I definitely want to read 5.
But. Yeah.
Yeah,
I would read it too, and I would, if we're going to do that, then I'll reread these 1 through 4 and
cool
shortly before I come back up.
Apparently, he's also releasing the like version of the actual role-playing game. So Gillen has written the rules of the game.
I'll have to play it.
Yeah, so I want to get that too and see what it looks like.
I wonder if the game came first.
He discusses it in the first issue, I think.
The idea of it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was kind of simultaneous. Hmm. Like once he started making the comic, he realized I could do this game, and kind of did it at the same time.
So he wrote the comic and then...
I think so, yeah. Because the idea came from that Dungeons & Dragons cartoon, that he was inspired that in that cartoon. It's about, you know, real, quote-unquote, humans, I guess, who are transported to a fantasy realm as kids, and they adventure there, but they never escape and get back to their real lives when the series ended. And he was, you know, profoundly upset by that as a child. It was like the idea of being lost forever in this fantasy realm and losing your life. So this is basically like his commentary, his version on that, or adaptation of that. But then as he started doing it, built in the game mechanics and realized it wouldn't take much more effort to make an entire game out of it. At least that's what he says in the back matter. Okay, so more Die coming up, and then also maybe some different comics discussions in the future. I think we're positing a sort of like a wild card or a sampler platter episode of the Comics Club, kind of looking at one-off issues here and there and seeing what we think about them versus kind of following a story, you know, until we decide to stop reading it, possibly.
Which of us would be which characters. And I think I like this theme we're developing, inserting ourselves into
casting
that,
into yak babies. Yeah. I mean, I think we know the answer. I'm the Grief Knight. I think that was discussed in the last episode. Brick declared them a Grief Knight.
Oh, really?
Okay. I think so. Nico. I don't know. Maybe the Cyber Mage, the coder who's addicted to drugs.
Yeah.
Okay. Thoughts?
And that drug is golf.
The one who can speak to gods, who's like sassy. Feels like Brick, yeah. So that leaves Dave. You can't be the bad guy. So you're either the person who compels people to do the voice, or you're the goofus who was secretly smart. I mean, we want to go with the voice, right? Like, yeah, no one can be Chuck. Chuck's the character no one actually wants to be. Although Chuck is a famous writer, so maybe that's that.
Hmm. But Chuck has a lot more hair than I do.
Yeah, no bald characters in the world of
that. It's a fantasy.
It's true.
Yeah, okay. Good. Good stuff. Well, find us on Twitter at YakBabies and email us at yakbabiespodcast@gmail.com. Go to patreon.com/yakbabies and subscribe for $1. Get access to a whole treasure trove of goodies. There's games. There's fun. There's lost episodes, unused audio, a bunch of stuff we don't really want you to hear, but we're actually asking you to pay for it. So that's kind of paradoxical. Anyway, fun to see it there. And we'll see you later. YakBabies, yakking off.
The Yak Babies would like to send an extra thank you to everyone who listens regularly, and especially to those who have supported on Patreon, past and present, including Michael, Bonnie, and William Howard Taft.